Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Junks. We're presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Let's head now to the BetQL guest hotline. Say good morning to our friend John Keim, Commanders reporter for ESPN.com. John, good morning.
What up, fellas?
Hey, John. You know, before we get into it, I wanted to ask you, what is your take on Adam and these hints that you could feel confident they're going to go with Jaden? I know you've said that they're notoriously quiet, secretive. They're not telling anybody. What does Adam know? He's your colleague. What's he know that we don't know?
I mean, I can't speak for what he may or may not know, but what I do know is he doesn't know for sure. So that, because he hasn't said that, most likely signs point to signals, et cetera. And he would be the first to admit that. So nobody knows it because they haven't. And here's the other thing, because they haven't finalized the call yet. Mm-hmm. So, but that's where you can say like, well, listen, signs point to, signals point to, but bottom line is, I think, Adam would be the first to admit, and I can't speak for him,
of course,
but I just know that, nobody knows for sure.
How do you know, John, that they haven't decided yet? How do you know that? Cause like Jason says, they know, JP says they know what they're doing.
I personally think that they could come down to the last day.
I agree with you.
Why would you make a decision 9 or 10 days out when you don't have to?
Yeah, they don't have to make the decision now. And people made these mistakes throughout the coaching search as well, just assuming what they knew, which was, to be honest, nothing. And what people have to learn is that, like, this is a very, very process-oriented group. And that doesn't mean they don't have a strong lean. I don't know if they do or they don't. I mean, it would only be human if you – right, only make. But during the coach search, it was always go through each step, and part of that process is going through this week, which is all the visits, and those are important. So today, Jaden Daniels is there today. Drake May and JJ will be there tomorrow, so they want to get through that. And I think again, they don't have to know now. Fans want to know now. We all want to know now, but they don't have to know because why? What difference does it make if you you may have a lean, but like you don't have to settle on the guy because what if they settled on a guy because a couple weeks ago, and then you learn some things during the process thereafter, and maybe it goes against your guy, but you'd already settled on him, so you just kind of dismiss whatever you learn or whatever because he's our guy. And, so then what? Maybe you make the wrong pick because you stuck on him a month ago. And so I think you need to go through this process, and that's how they operate. Just everything I've heard is they haven't settled on a guy doesn't mean
they're not leaning
like a certain guy. That part I don't know.
And, right. Are they bringing in
Penix? Maybe they settle on a guy after the in-person interviews.
Exactly. Yeah. Because one thing I know with Adam Peters, he will solicit a lot of input. And, you know, I think they just want to be careful. What I also know about Josh Harris is he wants every piece of information that you can give him about whatever decision you're going to make. Right. So if you go to him and say, like, if you went to him and said, we're settling on this guy now, it's like, well, what about this, this, and this? Like, oh, well, but this is our guy.
Right.
If you can't answer the other questions, he's going to say, you need to do more work.
Hey, John.
And so I think that's part of it.
Are they bringing in Penix or Bo Nix or any of those guys?
They already brought in Penix.
Okay.
Bo Nix, not to my knowledge, but yeah. But yeah, they already brought in Penix. And
was that just a due diligence thing, or does that mean they were possibly interested in him, and number two?
Well, I think there's definitely interest. I think you'd have to say that, but I think that would have been from a, hey, you never know what someone may offer, and if you're in position to take, like, if, for example, if someone made them this great offer to trade back, which wouldn't see, but you should know, like, okay, what if the Vikings offer you, who would be your guy there at 11? And it would probably be, you know, the one guy who would probably would, I think the other three or four would be gone. So then you're looking at Penix, what is, you know, bring him in. And so, but I think that's a due diligence thing because you're not taking him at two.
Right, right.
John, you wrote a good piece on ESPN.com highlighting the strengths and weaknesses of Jaden Daniels and Drake May. Why don't we go through some of those? You talked to NFC offensive coaches. What did they say about Jaden, the pros and the cons?
Well, first of all, that's the guy. And this is where, you know, where with Adam, too, it's the same thing. When we talk about, you know, his signs and the signal and all that, it's the same thing that I would get, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, this is what others are saying.
Right.
And that's where, like, more people you talk to, whether it's, you know, guys who coach the position or offensive coaches or head coaches, he's the guy that they pointed to as the guy. And, you know, obviously you have the we can all see the legs and all that, but he's improved as a pocket passer. And he was really good with that last year. And I think the downfield accuracy is something that always jumps out. And Dan Quinn talked about it with me too, is the processing speed. That Jaden Daniels has, you know, and I think one of the benefits of playing in the SEC for some of these coaches too, that you'd see him against different defenses and better defenses than you'd see like a Drake May, for example, and even JJ McCarthy. I mean, there were only, you know, a couple good defenses in the Big Ten and, you know, in the ACC. So you're going to see that, but also because of that, you'd see more post-snap disguises, right? And can you diagnose that after the snap? And I think that's one of the things that people saw with Jaden Daniels.
Now, two of the knocks you pointed out is one coach said his throws outside the numbers, maybe doesn't have the greatest of arm, and then, of course, his stature.
Right. And so the outside the numbers, one of the things that is, he doesn't, his arm is good, but it's not great. And so you're thrown outside the numbers. It's not like he had success outside the numbers at LSU, but a lot of it was downfield and the fades and all that. So we're talking about the quick outs. It's different, right? That's a power arm strength. And so he has really good timing, and you can make up for a lot of that with timing and anticipation. But I think on the other stuff is what one coach had told me, like the ability to drive the ball. But they felt like, you know, you could work with that in terms of mechanics and getting his lower body more into it. So I think that was an area where, yes, that was something they pointed out, but there was a feeling that you can work with that because you can get him to drive more and use the lower body more. So I don't think it was a massive issue. The frame is the bigger issue, and just the taking all those hits. And we've seen that here before with Robert. And, you know, just if you're not careful, what it can lead to. So that's the main I think that's a big concern. It's not like his frame is narrow, but so is Kirk Cousins. But Cousins isn't a runner. He takes care of himself. So if you can do that, then I think he's going to be fine. Right. But that's the one concern is like, will he alter the mind? It's not just about sliding too. It's like you have to change a mindset when you're running like that. The kid, I mean, he's tough and he competes. And sometimes that can trip you up a little bit if you're trying to run over some NFL linebackers or something, or, you know, so I think that's the big thing is because he is slender and because he does run, will he learn to protect himself more? Sometimes it's just throwing the ball away. So that's those are the two things.
John, did you put your people reading skills to the test when you had Dan Quinn on your podcast? Did he seem like more enthused to talk about one prospect than
no.
the other? What were your takeaways?
My takeaway is I don't want to play poker against these guys.
Okay.
So no, he did not. But you can you guys had him. Mm-hmm. You asked him some questions that I felt like were revealing. So, I can't get past the game changer line. That's a hard one to get past because what does every coach want? And, sometimes you try, this is where, again, where you try to read and see what does this mean? And when you hear about defensive coach, the reason why too, every defensive coach I've talked to for a while, they hate facing quarterbacks like Jaden Daniels because of that ability to create with his legs and the creating chaos. So I think that's, Dan Quinn falls in that as well, but it's not like Drake May and J.J. McCarthy are statues.
Yeah, you pointed out in your article, right, about Drake May, that Daniel Jeremiah, for example, has Drake May number one. So why don't you fill us in on what the Drake May backers say? Because we kind of know the negatives is that not experienced enough, might take some time. He's not as ready as Jaden Daniels, but what are the backers saying about Drake?
Well, I think, first of all, he's a good athlete. And he's not Caleb or Jaden, but he's a good athlete. And so I think that, and even again, Dan Quinn on your show, that's what he used the word to describe Drake, but that's what others will say too. And I had one of his college coach, an offensive analyst from UNC, Clyde Christensen, who coached in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I talked to him last night and, but the arm strength, it's a really good arm. He's a really good arm, and he does throw a good deep ball. I think you can see there are times with him where you just see that's an NFL play. The throwing from a messy pocket and, having to slide in the pocket, reset, keep your eyes, boom, over the middle, there it is. So that I think that size is a big deal. He's at 6'4 and 230 or whatever. He's very, very sturdy, and so – you would think he'd be durable because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are some of the things, those are the big things. And even with the mechanics, I think when you talk to people and why they'd have to sit him for a while is because you need to tweak those up and firm them up. He does have a longer delivery. That's an issue. And that's something that that's where Jaden has a more compact release. And so I think that's something that Drake May would have to get better at. He also needs to take better care of the ball. And I think that's another thing. But then the footwork is the other part. And that's why I think they feel like he'd have to sit earlier, more so than Jaden Daniels would. The arm strength and just there, he makes some plays where it's like, that's really impressive. And, so I think there's definitely reason. Even I talked to Jay Gruden, and his thing was he'd take Jaden now, but over the next 5 years, he thinks that Drake would be better. But that's, you're banking on your ability to develop a guy. And I think, one thing that trips coaches up sometimes is the absolute ego and thinking they can do something with somebody that maybe you really can't. But that's when you have to get to know the kid to see, is he going to put in the work to help us get him there, right? But those are the things they'd say about him.
JK, is Washington still fielding calls for the number two pick, do you think, or are they just locked in?
I don't know, but I'm sure they are because, you hear that the Raiders.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It all goes back to the information. Anything with this group, it's how much information are you presenting your owner? Because, again, if the analytics show trading back in this situation would be a great thing. And they're a big analytics group and you have Minnesota offering you 5 first round picks to move up and you don't listen, you're kind of making a mistake. But so I think that, yes, I think these calls all get made. And if nothing else, it's just to gauge the temperature of the desire.
Right.
And I have a hard time believing they would trade back. Because where are you going to trade back to guarantee you get one of your guys? And just because maybe you like Michael Penix, but how much more do you like the other guys? You know, if you say like these four are equal and we don't care, which would be rare, then okay. But short of that, you're gonna risk things by trading back if you want one of these, especially one of these three guys that including McCarthy that are in the mix.
John, thanks as always, man. We appreciate the time. We're in crunch time, 9 days till the draft kicks off. Thanks again, man.
Thanks, guys. Can't wait till it's over.
Yeah.
That's John Keim, Commanders reporter for ESPN.com. Don't forget, coming up at 9 o'clock, we'll talk Caps with Tariq El-Bashir here on the Junks.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Valdez, is there anything hotter in 2024 than squatters? 2024 is the year,
the year of the squatter.
Why? It's just big. Squatting is big in 2024.
2023 got me with the squatting, but out in 2024.
Hey, do you know what? When I went up to go visit my parents for Easter, they're out running around, and I got in like on a Friday. I left after work, and so no one was in the house.
Right.
And I used my key to get in, and I was in there or whatever. I think I made like a sandwich for lunch.
Yep.
And my dad walks in from the gym, and he goes, "Oh, we got squatters in here."
Your dad's in on the bit.
Yeah, he's in on the bit.
So apparently, professional squatters have taken over Gordon Ramsay's $13 million restaurant in London, and they're posting signs basically saying that it's theirs now. And that has got... I mean, Gordon Ramsay, like, he has a legendary temper. Can you imagine?
He does Hell's Kitchen.
How pissed he was.
Is that the guy that does Hell's Kitchen?
I think so.
Or used to be Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
I don't know what show
he
has.
I mean, I know who he is.
Now.
I don't know what show he does. I recognize
I think
him.
That is it. Yeah.
All those guys.
I mean, you would recognize
he's got a spot down here at the wharf. I think he has a fish and chip spot here.
Oh, I went there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I haven't sampled it yet.
I went there with a couple other couples.
But can you imagine like how pissed he was?
No.
squatters just...
But do they have any rights? In this case, do they have any rights? They're not like tenants moving to apartment.
They never have rights.
No, the group
some squatters do have rights.
The group of at least six people have boarded up windows and put up a, quote, legal warning defending their occupation of the York and Albany Hotel and Gastropub near Regent's Park. I don't know. I don't know anything about London. I think that's a swanky area of London, from
probably,
what I've read.
If that's where the restaurant is.
A BBC reporter, Alison Earle, who was at the scenes, said, listen to this audacity, EB.
Yeah.
A notice asking for food and donations had been ripped down.
Right.
So they not only go in and squat inside the restaurant, the pub, then they put up signs asking for donations and food into the spot where they shouldn't be occupying. Oh, if I'm Gordon Ramsay.
It's infuriating.
I wonder what the legal loophole that they're... Because I understand the loophole for housing. I don't understand the loophole for a restaurant.
I don't know. I guess...
I'm wondering, what does the article say the outcome is? Have they already been booted out? I'm guessing that one is very easy to deal with.
I don't know if they've been booted out at this point. I think they may still be
still occupying.
Apparently, they want to turn that space into a community art cafe.
Was it an open restaurant like the day before, or was it a closed restaurant?
Apparently, I think it's on sale. Like it's
okay.
Like Gordon Ramsay's trying to sell it, and you know what really brings down your property value? Squatters.
Oh. Got you. But it wasn't open the night before.
No, they just moved in.
They still, it's not theirs to move in.
Of course, I understand.
A restaurant that wasn't open for business and said, well, We're just gonna
if I'm Gordon Ramsay, I get my boys and we go in there and we drag them out by their hair and probably kick them in the face and everything else on the way
now,
out.
If this
Gordon, why wouldn't we do that?
Because are, you'll get charged.
If this
charged
Gordon,
for what? It's my hand. It's
assault,
my property.
You can't assault people.
Yeah. I would assault them. I would assault
now,
them.
No, this, different than doing somebody on the street.
No, it's totally different. They're on my property. Get off my property.
I would have loved to see what squatters, what like, say I'm squatters moved in like when the mob was at their height, like in the 50s or 60s in New York. Can you imagine squatters going
oh,
in
they'd be dead.
To like a mob owned joint?
Yeah, are you kidding?
It wouldn't last 5 minutes.
Wouldn't last 5 seconds.
The mob would actually burn the place down with them inside.
I think this squatting bit, it's good. It's peaking. It's gonna.
It's so hot in 2024.
It's peaking, but it's going to go. It's going to crash and burn.
I would hope so.
I think in Florida, they passed some legislation. They're going to start doing this all over the place.
I mean.
And people are just going to take
how many squatters did you say it was?
At least six people.
Six people.
These are detestable people.
Yeah, of course.
Vermin.
They're losers.
Vermin.
They're bottom of the barrel.
They have no rights.
Losers.
Zero. Zero rights. They're losers. And I'm literally getting angry just sitting here as you're talking about it.
You're getting angry. Imagine how pissed Gordon Ramsay is.
No, I can't fathom it.
You haven't had to deal with it in a courtroom.
Oh,
I had to deal with it in the courtroom.
I mean, the most angry should be JP, and he's actually...
No, he seems like he's okay with it.
I don't know what he's doing. He's sitting over there saying squatters have rights.
I'm just telling you, I've been through the process.
The law, they have rights. I understand it. They should have zero rights.
I'm
zero
not
rights.
Disagreeing
take
with you.
I'd take a truck and drive it right through the building.
But that's why you can't do those things.
Sadly, there are laws to protect squatters.
You
there
should
shouldn't be.
Right.
I'm not saying
you should
zero.
Be able to go in there and throw them out
of
the
building.
I'm
just saying that there are.
If you're a day late on your rent or something, that's one thing. But when you just move in because it's unoccupied,
right.
Get out of here.
Just, you're an opportunist.
Yeah.
You're taking advantage of somebody.
Yeah. I have no regard for you. You're human filth.
You know what they are? They're all jealous of Gordon Ramsay and his success and the fact that he's going to sell this restaurant for $13 million.
No, they're just opportunities, like you say.
Or dollars, whatever currency.
Euros.
They use. Didn't the whole Brexit thing happen? I don't know. I think they still use pounds in Britain. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. But whatever he's going to sell it for, they're jealous that he owns the property and they don't, and they want to make it their community art cafe. Just stop.
Here's a debate for you. Who's the worst kind of people? The squatters who are going and occupying homes and restaurants like this.
Yeah, they're vermin.
Or,
it's going to be tough to get
or
worse.
The people who were sitting on the Golden Gate Bridge.
They're just as bad.
On the Golden Gate Bridge. And
the cops are doing nothing.
And the traffic lane to O'Hare Airport in Chicago yesterday.
I saw that. I would take those guys and throw them off the bridge.
It's all about where that happened.
What were they protesting?
I think they're pro-Palestine.
I think one was a
pro.
Oh,
I think they were pro-Palestine.
It depends on where it happens because I saw the video of the people stacked up at O'Hare trying to get into the airport.
People were abandoning their cars on the on the freeway. And walking to the airport terminal to catch their flights.
On the flip side, I saw the same group of supporters doing it in Florida, and the cops were having none of it. They were just grabbing,
they don't care,
grabbing
Florida.
Them, and they were throwing them on the sidewalk.
The weakest cops
and they
ever.
Said, no chance
just
this is happening
there.
Here.
You know, I understand that the states have these laws, but whatever. This is ridiculous.
I drove by Navy Yard last week, and there was... Now, this... It was a loose group of like six or eight people standing outside of the gates. They didn't have signs, but they were clearly doing some form of protest. They were like shouting at the guards that were guarding the gate.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was like,
what
are you people doing?
Right.
It's a big waste of time. There's a big giant gate here. You're not going to get on the premises. Like, what are you doing here?
Doesn't anybody work? Nobody works.
Not a lot
not
of people.
Those losers.
Think about
not
all those protesters.
All
none
those
of them
protesters,
work.
All those losers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't work.
They don't work.
I think the delay for the bridge, I don't know about the one at O'Hare, but the bridge was a 5-hour delay.
Yeah, and the police just stood there.
Could you imagine?
Let them do it.
Well, I know that O'Hare, the police, if you wanted to abandon your car, they would escort you to the terminal.
Oh. Mm. Should have been escorting the protesters out of the middle of the street.
Probably not a bad
what
move.
What they should have been doing.
You abandon your
car. How
about
out of the country?
Eventually, it'll get towed. You pick it up, but you don't miss your flight. And you could go on your vacation or whatever you've got planned.
Going to the airport is hairy enough. Can you imagine a drab T-shirt trying to get to the airport without his wallet, and then there's a line of protesters holding him up for 4 hours?
No, I mean,
you know how bitter I'll be if I'm heading down to Kiowa and I miss my flight because of there's a protest at Thurgood Marshall Airport.
You know, you'll be doing, you'll be smacking them out of the way with your driver. Say, get out of the way. I've got 60 times in South Carolina.
No, guys, civilians are going to just like regular citizens are going to lose their minds.
It's going to be vigilante justice.
I mean, I saw some of it yesterday. So the lady was like, you're on film. You're on camera. He says, you think I care?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Get out of my face.
I mean, God.
All right, but what's worse, the squatters or the people delaying?
Blocking traffic? Yeah. Probably the squatters.
They're all equal.
I'm actually going to say the protesters are worse because the squatters thing is like site specific.
Yeah.
When you shut down a whole like highway or bridge,
yeah,
you're paralyzing infrastructure. Entire city.
Yeah.
No, they're worse.
It's horrible.
The protesters on the middle of the road, like if they go out and chain themselves to each other
difference.
Across the GW Parkway, worse.
No, it's horrible.
They're worse.
But the distinction for me would be those guys can only last a few hours. They got to eat, pee, and everything. They're going to leave. The squatters stay for months.
Here's what I would do with the squatters. If they're in the premises for longer than a week, that's when I call in either the National Guard or the military, and I pump in a bunch of flashbang grenades into the premises, and they'll come scurrying out with the quickness. You drop three flashbangs into like the restaurant where those dummies are hanging out in London, they'll be running for the exits with the quickness. You know what? Sue me. Sue the U.S. military. Get you out of the premises. I'm getting you off the property. Yeah. Flashbang incapacitates you. They wouldn't know what hit them.
Sounds great, but where are you getting that flashbang, Gakes?
I'm calling the military.
You're making it happen.
You're call
calling the military.
Yeah, just call the military.
Hey, this is Cakes. I like to order
1-800 military.
Three flashbangs.
I would like to order a platoon of your best soldiers. Armed to the teeth with flashbang grenades. We need him at Gordon Ramsay's restaurant ASAP. 5 minutes ago. Thank you. Hang up the phone.
1-800 grenades.
Is it that hard?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that difficult? I can go to a military surplus store. Grab some flashbangs.
I mean,
that should be the move.
Hopefully it would not happen. But let's say at some point you inherit a property.
Yeah.
After your in-laws pass, your mom passes, whatever. You inherit a property. And you haven't sold it yet, and somebody slides in there.
Yeah.
You're going to flashbang them out of there?
Yeah, or here's another solution.
Smoke them out.
Smoke them out, or I'll go get 100 rats. I'll get 100 rats, and then I will break a window, and I'll dump the vat with 100 rats inside and see if they like living with 100 rats inside.
How about snakes? Why don't we just put pythons in there?
Works too.
Rattlesnakes.
Rats are a little less deadly. I don't need the people dead. I just need them out.
You're advocating murder.
I need them out of the property.
Be enough to scare them.
What I'd love is though, let's say you accomplished your goal, you get them out.
Yeah.
Now
then you have
a
property. You gotta get rid of all the rats.
It's
and the
It'll
snakes.
Be easier to get rid of the rats and the squatters.
That's much easier. I just call the Orkin man. He goes in and wipes out the rats. I have my property.
Get a bunch of cats.
I mean, it could be easy.
I saw the one guy. Remember the
solution.
The viral video. The guy, he brought his crew in. They just took all the doors and windows off the property. They just went in there and screwed everything. Yeah, I have no regard for them. They're vermin. They're human garbage. They have no rights.
There'd be two species of vermin running around: rats and the squatters.
Cakes had his identity stolen essentially, and hadn't done anything about it yet. But he's gonna go. He's gonna call 1-800 military.
Yeah, because that hasn't affected him.
1-800 military.
I have a
bunch of rats.
I have a ton of great theoretical
solutions. There you go.
Real world problems.
The reason why he's done anything, it's not affecting him. It's just his accountant every year is saying, hey, you know, somebody's using this for something.
Right.
Cakes is like, oh, that's
every year.
Stupid.
Yeah, but every year.
It hasn't affected
him. I'll get it settled. I hate the runaround. It's just so tilting.
Right, right. You would probably say that too if there were squatters in your life.
No.
I'll
fix it next week.
Yeah, I'll get to those squatters soon. Sooner or later.
Yep.
It's not affecting my life. Yeah.
After the Caps run.
Yeah.
It's important.
I mean,
I gotta...
The Caps have the biggest game of the year tonight. You think I can deal with squatters right now?
No, so yes. Big.
I need Chucky to squat on all the pucks that come his way tonight in Philly.
That's the
only squatter I care about.
I kind of asked this earlier. Does the average sports fan understand the importance of tonight's game? Well, the average DC-based sports fan that cares about the local teams, but, you know, it's not a huge hockey. Like, maybe hockey's number three on our list or whatever, but they like winners and they like playoff runs. Do they understand that tonight's a playoff?
I don't know. I hope they do.
Maybe we can ask them. You know what? It's a good question.
If they're a sports fan, if they're a DC sports fan, they should know.
Yeah.
Are you someone that hasn't really been paying attention, but you're locked in tonight because you want a playoff run? Because you got to win tonight. For the most.
All right, let's ask the listeners. 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Are you ready for the biggest game of the year? Caps in Philly win, and they're in Stanley Cup playoffs where they would draw the Rangers. Tasty subplot. They face Peter Laviolette, who used to coach the Washington Capitals. 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls next. Bank local, cheer local. In business, every day is game day. Business is always moving, up or down, but never still. That's why the Main Street Bank team treats every day like game day. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank, proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender. I was irrationally upset at Drab T-shirt about a week ago when I asked him who sang this song, Rock You Like a Hurricane, and he responded with Whitesnake.
Everybody knows it's Scorpions.
Instead of Scorpions.
What?
But it's okay. I got past it. I hope he has a good trip to Spain, leaving his wallet behind.
I might have botched that,
notwithstanding.
Too. All right, so what about tonight's game? How big is it?
It's, as we've mentioned many times, BGOTY, biggest game of the year. For those who don't know what those five very important letters stand for, and I think some of the Caps fans are coming out of their slumber. They're responding at 800-636-1067.
The thing is,
they realize how massive it is.
We know Caps fans are locked in, but are sort of the average DC sports fan, are they locked in? The people that were all excited and wanted to be in all the festivities.
If you're not going
to
get swept up in the final game of the regular season with everything at stake, like, then what's going to get your blood flowing at that point?
It takes them going deeper. Like, don't you remember the Stanley Cup run that round to round it grew?
I
even game to game in the finals,
it
grew in terms of the people that were sitting outside the arena watching on the big screen. And by the end, your casual fan was in, and they didn't even know how to pronounce Ovechkin's name, if you recall.
And look, hockey,
but they were in because they were swept up in the winning.
I know where the Caps and the hockey falls in the pecking order. I know it's still a niche sport. I love it, but I know it's never going to draw NFL-type numbers.
You love Caps hockey. You don't love hockey.
This is true. I do love Caps hockey.
Because when the Caps get eliminated, you're not like, ooh, can't wait to watch the second round of the NHL playoffs.
You're very correct.
But like, I know like young people around here, like when they go on a run and it becomes the ticket, Caps playoff ticket, you know what I mean? This city loves a winner. We've said it a million times, right? We are a bandwagon town.
Sure.
Well, now's the time to jump on the bandwagon.
So I put up
I just want a playoff sweat. I just want a playoff sweat. That's all I want.
We'll go to the phones here, but I did put up a...
All I need.
That's why I'm willing to put $200 on Philly.
Well, let's be honest. It's not a real $200.
Not
it's
really.
$200 in bonus bets.
Correct.
There's a big difference there.
I put up the Junkies poll today, presented by Scotty's Vodka. Maryland made, super smooth, loved throughout the DMV with... The Capitals in a win and get in game tonight against the NHL Flyers. Are you all in with the Caps?
Right.
I don't think everybody's all in yet. I think it takes them winning some in the playoffs.
Getting to the playoffs, maybe they'll be jacked. Yeah.
I don't think they realize what's going on. That's my point. Does the average sports fan here in DC
realize
what's going on tonight?
I don't think they know the playoff scenarios tonight.
Well, here's what they should know. That if the Caps somehow make it in, I think they're the team with the worst goal differential in the modern era to qualify for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, that in and of itself is a remarkable accomplishment. Like, to make it in when you're getting outscored by nearly 40 goals across an NHL campaign,
and all
it's
the things,
basically impossible.
All the things we talked about earlier. They were sellers at the trade deadline.
Absolutely.
Right.
They had a guy who they were counting on retire on them early in the season in Backe, who's a legend. They've had a lot of things go against them. Their starting goalie was supposed to be Darcy Kemper.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. The backup has taken over in Lindgren, and he's been very good. But you're paying Darcy a lot of money.
Well, he's making north of $5 million a year. to sit on the bench.
Jason's guy, Anthony Mantha's gone.
He gone.
Yep. Been gone forever. All right, let's take some calls.
Koozie's gone.
Well, this is a big
his
one.
His ice time has dwindled, by the way, in case you haven't been noticing. He's become less and less of a factor in Carolina than when he got there at first.
Do we have a soundtrack that we play? Do we get that Stanley? Like, do we?
I mean,
we
Valdez
break some
might
of that
have
old
it.
Stuff.
Like, might have it. Somewhere.
What did we play
I'd
the last
off
time?
On get that Stanley.
Get that
until,
Stanley.
Like maybe I think win we a playoff
retired
round.
It. Yeah.
They got the Stanley.
Yeah, they did get the Stanley. Well, which is very important.
Trying to get
one. It again.
Trying to get another one. Let's
How
go.
About get to the playoffs?
How about get one round of playoff wins under your belt after getting said Stanley. I'd
Anthony,
like that.
What's up, man?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Anthony.
What's up?
How would you describe yourself as a Caps fan, and are you all in now?
I got a fever already, man. I'm going. I've already called guys from Philly. I already started a trash talk, man. I'm in.
You're in.
I'm 100%. I mean, if you're a fan, you're a fan. Some fans are more fervent than others, but yeah, I'm a Caps fan. I mean, I'm going back to, late 80s as a 10-year-old or something, or 12-year-old or whatever, and, watching it on a little dial 13-inch TV.
So you've been in all season?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like a diehard.
Yeah, he's already in.
Yeah, I mean, I got kids and I work, so I can't watch every game just like baseball. But when I can, I'm all into I'm watching when I can.
Okay.
And all I will say this, too. I think tonight you're going to see more of an older style of hockey. You're going to see more hitting. It's going to look like it did 10 years ago for a regular season game. But, so it's going to look like a playoff game.
It's definitely going to look like it.
I think you're going to see Coach Carberry wants to see a carbon copy of what they did last night against the Bruins.
Yeah, they're blocking more
stifling
shots.
Defense, yeah. Not a lot of pressure around Chucky. He'd like to see more than one goal through most of the game. But I think he's going to try to replicate what happened in D.C. last night in Philly.
It's kind of their M.O.
I don't think they're capable of winning 5-4.
I don't think they are either.
So they're going to have to hold Philly to 1 or 2.
All right, let's go to Brian in Largo. Hey, Brian, what's up, bud?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Hey, man, you locked in or what?
I just got locked in last night. I thought the Caps won last night that they were in. That's how big of a, I told the guy I'm a playoff Caps fan.
All right.
I think a lot of people are like that.
I get it. So you're in tonight.
The Caps are really the only team. I'm not from the area, but the Caps are the Caps and the Mystics are the only Washington teams I root for.
Right.
The Mystics could have drafted Angel Reese last night.
Yeah. Bypassed her.
I was highly upset. Why not? That would have been perfect.
I don't know.
I wasn't privy to their war room.
They took Edwards from UConn. I mean, maybe she's a better player.
Yeah, I was just saying take Edwards. I mean, take Reese just to fill some seats.
Yeah. Right. I would have done the same thing.
All right, let's go to Ken in McLean. Ken, what's up, buddy? Are you locked in? Big one tonight.
Not so much. I mean, I'll watch, but I just the way they're getting into the playoffs, if they do, it's just not too exciting. I mean, if you have a team that's coming on strong at the end of the season, maybe they had some injuries earlier or young guys are getting better, then you can look at it and say, hey, this is exciting. Mm-hmm. They could do some damage, but they're like going sideways into the playoffs. I mean, they've lost so many games recently. It's been disappointing. I just can't see them doing anything when they get there.
It'll be a long shot that they'll go on a run.
I think for this team, making the postseason is a huge accomplishment. Because Brian McClellan looked this team at the trade deadline and said, we're going to shuttle off pieces. Guys that are not signed long-term, we'll get draft picks back. You know, we're just going to turn the page and try to get some more assets. Nobody expected this to be a playoff team. That's your win, is that they're potentially making the playoffs.
But
a lot of mediocrity, obviously, at the bottom of the Eastern Conference. Lost 7 of 10. Yeah. They've been outscored by 40 goals, and they're still right now in the playoffs.
Well, Flyers have lost 8 out of 10.
I know.
They lost 8 in a row before they won their last two.
I mean, I saw the stat last night. Counting last night, I think they're 16-10-3 in their last 29 games.
Okay.
That's not limping in. That's pretty good. If they
it kind of depends on how far back you're looking. I mean, they've lost 7 of 10, so.
But 16-10-3 over the last 29.
Five in a row loss was five losses in a row was pretty disappointing. when they were doing that. I was like shaking my head. Looking at that.
Trust me, it hasn't been perfect.
He's not all in.
All right, there's some regrettable losses there on the slate, but when you can't score, when you're scoring 0, 1, or 2 goals per game for like an 8 or 9 game stretch, you're not going to win a lot of those games. Right. It's impossible.
All right, let's go. Let me see here. Let's go to Damon in Oxon Hill. Hey, Damon.
How's it going? Good morning. Thank you, guys.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep. Sure.
The question was, you know, is the casual fan aware? I mean, like, I don't watch hockey. I've never watched hockey. I live in the area. I'm from the area. I don't care where I've lived at outside of the area. I've always rooted for the home team because I got an attitude. Anybody that listens to your show is very aware of what the capital situation is. Right. I mean, quite frankly, I mean, I'm sitting here rocking. I mean, my coffee cup is from the 2018 Stanley Cup championship. I don't even drink Dunkin' Donuts.
Nice.
When I saw the cup at my mom's house, I took it because I like rocking the red. We're very aware. We're very aware of the situation. Like I say, I would love for them to make the playoffs, but they do sort of remind me of some of those Wizards teams with John Wall where they'll make the playoffs, but they're not doing much of anything.
But you know what? Embrace the playoffs. The Commanders won 4 games. The Nats are in a rebuild. The Wizards won 15 out of 82 games.
Yep.
15 out of 82. Think how bad that is.
None of the local teams made the NCAA tournament. Like, this is actually like a bright spot if they're able to qualify for the postseason.
This will definitely be something to, like, I guess, help us going into, I mean, this new sports year. I mean, like, I don't know how much stock and faith we put into the Nationals, but we know they got some young guys that are coming up. How long it'll take for them to develop, I'm not sure.
Hmm.
I don't know. It's always – I mean, that's how it is. But we also got the D.C. Defenders. I mean,
Damon, thank you for the call. Now he's just naming every single franchise. Yeah. It's like, you got to move on.
I can't.
I just can't pay attention.
I am confident if they win tonight
that
there will be a surge of Cap fans.
Absolutely.
Interest,
overnight.
More interest. I would agree.
Overnight. It might double.
Especially if you're playing the Rangers and you're playing against the coach that was here the last
and
3 years.
Heavy dogs in that series.
Heavy dogs.
As they should be.
Heavy dogs.
But at least they'll be
but
there.
But like you said,
it'll
be a sweat. I just want that sweat, best of 7 sweat.
Give us a 10-day sweat.
That's what I want.
That's all we need here.
Let's go to Tony in Manassas. Tony, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, buddy.
Are we forgetting the Los Angeles Kings who got into the last slot of the playoffs in a shootout on the last game and won the Stanley Cup?
That's
not
true.
Forgetting that.
That
That's
happened
correct.
A while ago, right?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah.
But this is the hardest trophy in sports to win. And, you know, it's just exciting to get there. And the L.A. Kings had a lot of young guys coming up and they had some injuries, but they went, you know, they persevered. But you know, that's why you can never give up.
The only thing that scares me is, man, this team is just struggling to score goals. And just to have to rely on the defense and Chucky to play outstanding for 3 periods. I would hope. I don't know what Philly's defense is like. I don't know what their goaltender is like. But I'm hoping if Washington can get to 4 goals, I'll love their chances.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't see them getting
goals. I might take my pants off if they score 4
right,
goals.
I'm saying they're probably going to
They scored 5 against them last
they're
time.
They're probably going to get to 2 goals, and I don't know if that's enough.
Right. All right, when we come back, we will shift topics. We will talk Washington Commanders. All of the top quarterbacks are coming in for visits this week. What's the one question you would ask all of the top quarterbacks that are coming in to visit the Commanders? What would you ask Jaden Daniels? What would you ask Drake May? What would you ask those guys to do up on the whiteboard when you've got them in the building? We'll take your calls on that next. Discuss that next here on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.